open it up. You have to use a Bible this morning. You won't have the screen to help you. Open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our sermon text is verse 30 and verse 31. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30 through 31. And so we've concluded a season in the book of 1 Timothy, and we've concluded the Advent season, and we're looking ahead to the new year, and this is kind of, this Sunday and next Sunday, kind of an in-between Sunday or two Sundays. And so in two Sundays from now, we're going to be starting a series on the book of Judges, plowing through that book. And so this Sunday, we're going to pick up these two verses from Paul, and we're going to focus on one of the great doctrines of the Christian faith, Christ alone, one of the five solas from the Reformation. And so our sermon text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. So hear the word of God. Paul writes, "And because of him, and because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come this morning making our boast in you. We can't boast in ourselves. We have nothing to boast about. We are a weak people. We are a people who are powerless. We are people who aren't very smart. In fact, we could say we're foolish, but you are wise and powerful and good. And you have revealed Jesus to us, and that's why we're here. And so we boast in you and in your salvation. And Father, we pray this morning as we look at these two verses that you would use these two verses to cause us to boast all the more in you and in your gospel. Oh, Father, we desire to be a church, a body of Christians who boast in you. We want to be known as a people who boast in you. Whether we're with each other at church or we're at home with our families, whether we're by ourselves or in the workplace, oh, Father, we want to be a people of verse 31. A people who boast in you. So, Father, we pray, would you use these two verses this morning for our good? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the doctrine of Christ alone comes from the time of the Reformation. And so, this morning, I want to set it up with a little bit of history. And so when we remember the Protestant Reformation, we rightly recall some heavy hitters. You've probably heard some of these names like Martin Luther or John Calvin or John Knox or Thomas Cranmer. However, when we think of the Reformation, this biblical renewal in the church, we have to acknowledge that there are many others involved in this movement. In fact, during this time, as the seeds of this biblical movement of renewal were sprouting up everywhere, many were joined in. And soon after Luther's work, reform was afoot all over Europe. They were stirring among the Swiss and the French and the English, and God's word was at work renewing the church. And I want to focus this morning on an individual that you might never have heard of before. His name is Ulrich Zwingli. So Ulrich was born in Switzerland, and he spent his life pastoring and ministering in Switzerland. Now, you need to know a few things about Zwingli. First of all, you need to know that Zwingli was a Renaissance man to the core. He was not an ordinary pastor. He had a great interest in music. He was a musician. He meddled in politics all of the time. He was a trained scholar. He was a humanist. He was also a military chaplain. In fact, if you travel to Zurich, Switzerland, you'll find a statue of him, and in one hand he's holding a Bible, and the other he's holding a sword. There's Ulrich Zwingli. In fact, tragically, he died on the battlefield while holding a sword and a Bible. And so we can say safely that this man was no ordinary pastor. Now, what made Zwingli different from many of the pastors of his day were not his abilities or his giftings. There were many other men who had abilities and giftings, but this man was set apart for his convictions. He was a convictional man. And I want to set before you a quote from Zwingli showing you his heart. He said this at one point. Though I was young, churchly duties inspired in me more fear than joy, because I knew and remained convinced that I would give an account of the blood of the sheep which would perish as a consequence of my carelessness. So here's a man, he's burning with passion. He's got conviction. What is his conviction? What's driving him in his ministry? He sees the needs of his people and that he's going to be held accountable for their blood. I knew and remained convinced that I would give an account of the blood of the sheep which would perish as a consequence of my carelessness. And so as a result of this conviction, Zwingli was a driven man. He was a man full of burning concern for the people of God, and there was good reason for all of this concern in Zwingli's heart, because the gospel of grace was at that time corrupted in the church. There were indulgences sold, which to state it rather crudely, people would buy these so that they might gain the forgiveness of sins for themselves or for others. People at that time were encouraged to seek out the Virgin Mary as this mediator between God and man. People would make pilgrimages to relics and icons, seeking in them grace from God. The Lord's Supper, or what was called then the Mass, was conceived as a re-sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and God's people couldn't even share in this service. It was mostly for the priest class of the day. And so the great question of the Reformation, and this was burning on Zwingli's mind because of his concern for his people, was this: well, how can a guilty sinner stand before a holy God? How can someone be saved? How can I be saved? How can anyone be saved? And what Zwingli did, by God's help, is he found the answer. And he answered this question with great clarity and great truthfulness. And so 6 years after Luther posted his 95 theses, Zwingli wrote 67 articles about the faith and about reform. And in these articles, Zwingli would land on this about the gospel. Let me just read it to you. It is glorious. He says, "The summary of the gospel is that our Lord Christ, true Son of God, has made known to us the will of his heavenly Father and has redeemed us from death and